Okay. Hey, that was nice. It is pretty exciting that God uses us in amazing ways. And I know that Amy shared her testimony here before, how last year on Saturday night at the conference, she had gone for about 9 years without even hearing God's voice. She had known him, she had been close to him, and some things had happened in her life, and she hadn't heard his voice. But that night, God broke through and spoke to her. And I was out of the room at the time, and she came running looking for me. And I was looking through pictures of one of the vendors, and it was kind of like she just separated the pictures. She's like, I got to tell you what just happened. So it's really cool that Amy is being called to go to conference this year and be leading others into that experience. So it's just exciting how God uses all of those kinds of things and works together to do that, and how he has blessed this church with many talented people. There's been some really cool stuff that God's been doing in the last 6 weeks. Actually, this is our sixth week in our new location. Over the 5 weeks that we started coming and attending here, we've had more first-time guests than we had in the, well, we've had the same number of first-time guests as we had in the first 9 months of last year. So in those 5 weeks, we have had nearly 15 first-time guests coming in. We've also been averaging about 10 people more a week. This may not be the week, but on average, I took all the numbers and broke them down, divided by five, and on average, we're averaging about 10 people more a week. Now, why is that happening? There's a one-word answer. Do you have an idea? Jesus is a great answer, yes. And also, because we have chosen to focus on something this year, does anybody have an answer for what we're focusing on? Prayer. We are focusing on prayer. So we have focused on prayer because we believe prayer will change our world. And we've committed to prayer at the beginning of this year as our focus word, that we were going to pray and we were going to make it last longer than a New Year's resolution, which is usually like 6 weeks. And we're like, no, we're going longer. We're going all year with this thing. And then we got into Lent and we added fasting and we're still praying. We're still praying, right? You still have people who you are praying for. You're all supposed to be nodding. And if you haven't been, you're going to remember and pick that up again, right? Because that's one area in our lives as Christians that is so important. That communication, that relationship with God. Now, if you go for a while without talking to someone, you don't know what's happening. What they're doing, what they're interested in, what their desires are. And the same thing happens with God. When we don't talk to him, we're not as in tune to what he has planned and what he's doing in our lives. We can kind of guess, we can kind of have feelings, but we don't have that kind of connection. And that's what prayer does. It brings us a connection with God. It helps us not to have to guess about, what are your desires for me, Lord? What do you want to put in my heart so that I seek after those? Sometimes, though, prayers get answered and they look way different than what we expect. Because we've prayed very, very fervently, very definitely this year. And who in the heck thought we'd be meeting on Saturday night? I mean, really? Did you know that was an answer to prayer? That as we were saying to God, whatever you want, what we want is to be able to take the message of reconciliation that you have brought to men and women everywhere, and we want to take that and share that. And we want to do that and help our church to do that. And here's some people we're concerned about that we're praying for. And we started praying and praying and praying. And I don't know what we expected exactly, but what we got was a change, big change. Well, prayer does change your world. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It changes your world. It changes my world. It doesn't say change the world, does it? It says change your world. Do you need your world to be changed? Yeah. We needed our world to be changed. And we said, God, what does that look like? And he said, well, let me tell you. It looks like a really strange thing that you're going to have to move. And then this odd extra thing that you're going to have to start meeting on a different night and a different time. And here you go. And we've had new people coming and visiting. And we've also had those of you who were with us at our last location and our location before that and our location before that and our location before that come right along and be committed to this family of God, which is awesome. And God is the source of all that happens in our lives. So we have been looking over the last 3 weeks, this is the third week, at hope in a series called Hope Endures. But before we get into that series, I do want to say that one thing about meeting on Saturday nights is that we get to do a lot of Eve stuff, like Easter Eve. You know, we met on a Saturday. So we get to do Mother's Day Eve. So I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms who are in the audience or congregate, but you guys are in the audience. I'm sorry. Bad word. Bad choice of words. Everybody who's here, I want to say happy Mother's Day to the grandmas. I want to say happy Mother's Day to the aunties. I want to say happy Mother's Day to every person, every woman in particular who nurtures, to our teachers, to our nurses, to those who serve and nurture and care for people. Happy Mother's Day. You bring hope through the way you love. Thank you for that. So we're going to talk one more week about hope. And we're going to talk about hope enduring. That's what we've been focusing on. And the first week, we talked about hope for our future. And then last week, we talked about hope for our past. This week, we're going to talk about hope for the present. It's that place that's sometimes caught in between the past and the future. That place that's sometimes hard to reside in. Sometimes it's because we're so focused on the past, thinking about it, ruminating about it, worrying about it, that we don't have time to be present in the present. Or sometimes it's that we're dreading the future or worried about the future or what's going to happen and how am I going to work it out? And we have trouble finding hope here, now. We're either back there or we're looking here. So I was going to make this joke, but I decided not to. I decided to let Charles Barkley make the joke for me.
Brother, we're not living in the future.
Longevity.
That's why they call it a gift.
Longevity.
Present.
None of that makes sense.
Well, they call it the present. We're living in the present. It's a gift.
You're the present.
Oh, okay, got it.
Longevity. That's why they call it the present.
That's it.
Why do they call... Okay, what... Well, I can't even do it right. Who knows that joke and can do that joke? You're right, not me. Why do they call today a gift? Why do they call today a gift? Because it's a present. Okay. So I was watching Game 5. That was from halftime Game 5, Blazers versus Nuggets, and they lost. It was sad. But I saw that come up in the halftime show. Yeah, I don't know why I watched the halftime show, but I did. And he made a joke about the present and a gift, and I thought it would just be hilarious. And wow, yeah, that was a good one. And there's nobody I can blame. I don't have any writers, you guys, except me. So, but we won game 6. And so tomorrow, 12:30 in the afternoon, ABC, rooting for the Blazers. Go Blazers, right? So got to get that in there. We are studying 2 Corinthians 5. So what we've done is taken one chapter from the Bible to look at what is contained in there about hope. And so the first few verses talked about hope for the past, the next few about hope for the future, and now we're going to look at what it says about hope for the present. We're going to pick up right where we left off last week, which is at verse 16. We're going to read 16 and 17, where it says, "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun." Now, we're going to hold that on the screen for a moment because I want us to notice two things. Verse 16 is made up of the first two sentences. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. We have stopped. What these two verses are doing is taking the past and tying them to the present. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. What preceded this was talking about how Christ has died for all. So he took on a life of a human man, human being, and he did that to reconcile everyone. And last week we were in agreement that, yeah, it's for everybody. And then we talked about how that everybody even includes us, no matter how broken we might feel, and that that's what gives us hope for the past. So those first two sentences, have stopped, we thought, those are past tense. And so what was in the past is now being tied to the present in verse 17, where it says, this means, it means that anyone who belongs to Christ belongs now. It doesn't say belonged or will belong. Anyone who belongs now, we're in the present, has become a new person, has become a new person. You are a new person if you are in Christ. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. This ties into what we talked about last week, about new life being given. That the old life that we are tied to or were tied to, we no longer have to be. That we've been given a new life and a fresh start. And so this gives us our first glimpse into the hope for the present. So if a new life begins, we have to naturally assume that something is going to follow that. We know here at New Vision, those who attend semi-regularly or regularly, that we have a mission here. And we have a mission that is to be a place of hope. Excellent. So I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say, at New Vision, we have a mission to be, and then I want you guys to say back to me, a place of hope. Good. At New Vision, we have a mission to be place of hope. That's what our mission is. And that mission was what we did in the past, and that's what we're doing now in the present, and that's what we'll take into the future. A mission does not change when it's given by God. And the mission that we have to be a place of hope is to bring the hope of Jesus Christ to the world. Jesus is our hope. And we want to share that hope and all its components with all the people everywhere. And that's what God has commissioned us to do. What Jesus told his disciples, their mission was, after he was raised from the dead and before he ascended to heaven, he said, you guys have a mission. And your mission is to share the good news with everyone in the world. Yeah, right here where you're living, a little further out, around your state, a little further out, around your country, all around the world. That's your mission. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there's hope in that. And that's the enduring hope that we're talking about. And that's a present hope that we have, that we take and share with others. Now, in addition to that, for a couple of weeks now, I've been saying that we are a church that is different in order to make a difference. And this mantra was added on, And it didn't change our mission at all. But things have certainly changed because prayer changes our world. And what God said to me as I was saying, bad timing, moving, you know, in finding out in February we have to move, don't like that timing at all. And where are we going? Too much energy, too much confusion. What are you talking about? We're going to Saturday night. We're going to do 6 o'clock. What is all of this? And God said, you know what? Do you remember back when I told you I made new vision different for a reason? And I want you to embrace that difference. And so we are different. We are meeting on Saturday nights. Now, we're not the first church to do that. It's not like we invented the wheel or fire or something. I mean, other churches have met on Saturday nights, and others do. I mean, around the world, there's places. I actually talked with someone yesterday who has a church plant in Vancouver, and he was going to be sharing that night, last night, so Friday night church. So there's no, like, standard time to have church, but there's things and habits and traditions that we get used to. And so those things have changed. But God has done that because he said, I want you guys to be different. I want you to be a different kind of church. Now, sometimes we look at other churches or even other families. And if you think of church as a family, here we are as a family, and we do church on Saturday night, and we have a female pastor. Not very many churches do. Some do. Yeah. Thank you, God, for showing us the equality of men and women, and we know that that's in the Bible. We hold on to holiness as a very strong value of ours, that we want to seek after Jesus and become like him, not just kind of sit back and be like, oh, yeah, I'm saved. Hey, everything's good. I can do whatever I want. We're like, no, we want to really thoroughly find out who this Jesus is and put into our lives and our hearts that which will emanate what he stands for and what he believes in. So we have certain values here at New Vision. We value action. We value putting our faith to action, to actually, like, next week is our weekend to serve at the Gleaners, and we're still partnered with them. And we just take our action wherever we can. I get the phone calls really quite regularly, people who are saying, is there any way that you can help me and my family? We're about ready to lose our power, or we're going to end up being homeless soon, or, you know, our tires are completely bald. Is there anything you can do? And as benevolent people and as generous people, we take that seriously, and we have the means to help at those times, to say yes. I mean, God was clear, and our Free Methodist values are clear, that we help the poor. That is one of our values. And another value is that we don't judge people according to socioeconomic status, that we believe all people are equal. There should be no slavery. There should be people on even levels with one another. So we have a lot of those kind of values. Now, every family has values, and some are different than others. So other churches have other values and other callings. Now, when you were raising your children, or maybe it was even, well, for me it was actually yesterday, that I heard this conversation. So on the playground with my 3 oldest grandkids, and the oldest one had to be home in time to go to bed at 9, and the next to oldest one said, why does he get to stay up till 9? Her bedtime is 8. So what's the answer that you give to that? Well, we do things differently in our family, right? That's what the parent's going to say. Our family does things differently. That's the way their family does it, but our family does it this way. So we can kind of apply that to church. You know, somebody says, why do you meet on Saturday? Or why do you have a female lead pastor and a female assistant pastor and a female worship director? I don't know, because God made us different. And that's what he's called us to do. And we're following in his path and in his lead. And he is blessing us. And he is changing our world because we are following him. But we have to be willing to be different in order to see what he wants done totally accomplished. Family is what God designed. Family was never meant to be a trigger. Family was never meant to be a trigger word. But I know for a lot of people, it is. That there's broken families, that there's history of abuse, neglect in families. And at oftentimes, we have trouble seeing God as our father or as a parent because of our history with our parents. But God created families. It was in his design. And we became, as Christians, and as Jesus gave himself for a sacrifice, there's descriptions of what the church is. And one of the descriptions is that we become family to each other. We care for each other in times of need. We support each other. We hang out together. We, you know, accept each other, the good, bad, and the ugly. We just are. We're together. And so, to me, this is what family should look like. And I think this is what we find when we look at church as a family. We are cohesive. We are united. We're maybe different colors, different ethnicities. But there's open hearts, and there's open arms, and there's unconditional love. And because that is available, that allows us to have a hope for the present. Because no matter what we are going through, we're not alone. Now, that's true. And I can make that statement because Jesus is never going to leave us. We always have Jesus. Sometimes, and I've said it myself, it's not enough. You need your family. You need your biological family if you're functional. Sometimes if you're not all that functional, it's not the family that you want to turn to. It's your church community and your church family that become those that hold you up, that give you support, that give you direction, that maybe if you're barreling down the wrong path and someone or several people see that you're that there's no train track after a certain point and you're going to just go off a cliff, the church family is going to come beside you and say, hang on a second. We love you so much that we're going to surround you and say, hey, let's not careen out of control. Let's get this back together, get here with your community, and find our way back to that initial place of hope that we know exists. Now, as we add more people to our church family, we are going to be adopting them into our family here. And I just know from knowing you all that you're going to love like Jesus. You're going to care like Jesus. You're going to serve like Jesus. Because we have been tested. We have been through the fire. We have been told, go here, and we have gone here. And we have listened to God, and he has told us what we need to do while we're here. Let's say when we moved to the community center, we were there. There was a warming shelter that was held in that very place. Well, we went to training on how to serve there, and several people served at that warming shelter. We did the things that God told us to do there. And then he said, move on to this next place. And it's sort of like the Israelites, when they were going into the promised land and finding their place, he just would say, As long as I'm staying right here with you, you stay here. But the second I move, I want you to move with me. And that's the attitude that we've taken, is that when God says we're going to go, we're going to go with him. And when we're following along in that way, it's hard to be without hope. When he gives us things, even if it's an unexpected answer to prayer, and we recognize it as an answer to our prayer, we can say, there's some good stuff that's happening right now in my life. And I thank God for that, because he's showing himself as being real and being caring and being loving. And we get to do that with each other. And so that's why we have a hope. It's because we get to love like Christ, because we get to love the least of these, because he loves us so much, because we are certainly the least of these, and he has loved us always. So are you ready? Are we ready to love the least of these? Are we ready? That's not a rhetorical question. Are we ready?
Yes.
Are we going to do it? Okay. Okay, good. I'm ready too. I'm ready too. And fully aware that it probably won't look exactly like I expect it to look, but I'm excited. And I realize that our hope and our joy cannot be hung just on emotion, because if we did that, we would be all over the place. But it's hung on the fact that we are children of God, and that he has plans for us, and that he says in this family, this is how we do things. And as he says that, and as he brings people in, and as he brings new challenges and everything that he has for us, we will find ourselves able to rise up to whatever it is he has brought us in order to stay on our mission, continue to be a place of hope, continue to have hope within our hearts. Hope for the present is walking with God on a daily basis. If we get up every day and decide to walk with God, we are walking in hope for the present. We know that we are redeemed, that our past is redeemed. That's our hope for the past. We know that we have faith in what God has planned for us. That's hope for the future. And we know that we have hope for today because we are walking with God on a daily basis, and that there's a purpose. There's a purpose for us. We're going to find the purpose as we close out this chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 18, going through 21, where it says, all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So here's the story, and here's the way it goes. We are children of God. We are a child of God. God is our father. And dare I say, God is our mother. God is our perfect parent. In the beginning, God created a human being. Now, I taught on this a little over a year ago. My husband and I did a sermon together. That human being was named Adam, and we say Adam. And that human being was created in the image of God himself. And then God created all sorts of other creatures because he didn't want Adam to live alone in the garden that he had made, which is beautiful and perfect. And so he brought all the creatures by, you know, the giraffe and the zebra and the crocodile and whatever else there was. And there was no fit helper. There was no fit companion. There was no fit partner that he could find. And so what God did was say, this person we created need someone just like themselves to be able to have that partnership with. And so he made Adam fall into a deep sleep. And he took a part of his flesh, his rib, and he created another part of this person. And the person he created was called Isha. And Isha is Hebrew for woman. And at that point, and no point before in the scriptures, does it refer to Adam as Ish, which is man. So at that point, he created Ish and Isha separately. Now, we can see that Isha is a form or made from the word Ish, right? And we can translate that into English by saying man and woman. There's the connection between the Hebrew Ish and Isha. And so if we look at these two first people who were made and placed in the garden, we acknowledge that every characteristic of God has been put into these people. They were made in the image of God. God said, let us make this person. And yes, it got translated man, started mankind, got cut to man. It's a human. There's no differentiation between man and woman until the woman was created. And so God's image was put into this person. And God said, let us make a person in our image. Now, sometimes we just think, hold on a second. God is one, he's a father. What? He's a father. No, there's three in one. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's God. And so the human person and people were made in the exact image of God. And if that's the case, then every man and every dad and every father and every woman and every mom and every mother possesses the image of their creator. And so God not only has the traits of a man and a male as we assign them, but he has the traits of a woman and a female too. So God becomes the perfect parent. God is there and he's strong and he's bold and he fights for us when the time is needed. And he's soft and he's tender and he's loving and he holds us so close to his heart when that's needed. And so our hope for the present and our message of being a place of hope means that we want to share this story with others so they can be reconciled with God. Because what happened to the Ish and the Isha was that they were told, populate the world. Populate the earth. Make more of you. Make communities. Make families. Become family. You guys need each other. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit need each other. We're adding in humans. We need each other. We need to be in community. And it's not a virtual community. It's not one that you're just seeing through a screen. It's people being together, living together, loving each other, not judging each other, but just really unconditional acceptance. And so that's the purpose that God had when he created people. And then that got destroyed. It did get destroyed. It got destroyed by disobedience, and that's a whole nother sermon. But the message that we have is you can be reconciled back to this God who loves you through Jesus Christ, because a part of God, the Creator, decided to come to earth as a human man, a human baby, live among us, give his life for us so that we can be reconciled back to him to the state that he intended us to be in the first place. And that is a state of hope and perfect unity with our Creator. And that's where we find our hope, is in being a child of God. And that's where we find our hope now and our mission now and our purpose. So those last few verses are not a brand new purpose. They're a reminder. It is a reframing. It is a repetition of the very purpose that Jesus shared with his disciples. And we are his disciples. We have a purpose and a mission, and we become hopeless if we do not realize and recognize that we have a purpose and a mission. It turns out that we're in the family business. How does that sound? We have a business, and it's a family business here. And we're here to be family together and bring others into our family. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that I read earlier that we are representatives, ambassadors of our God. We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are representatives, ambassadors of our God. Our hope for the present is found in our inheritance. Because we're the King's kids. And we couldn't hope for any more because God's willing and has given us all of Him and all that we could ever need or desire. Let's pray. Lord God, I want to thank you for giving us hope. I want to thank you for the mothers and fathers sitting in this room, for the brothers and sisters sitting in this room, for those who are made in your image and who have your heart and who have your Holy Spirit, that we can become the ambassadors, introducing people to the reconciliation that you long for, the separation that you never wanted, and the relationship that you created from the beginning. And Lord God, I just pray that if there's anyone in this room that is hopeless and just at that point, that you will lift them up, help them to recognize that there's no need to live in hopelessness, that there is an answer to hope, and there's a purpose and a mission that every one of us has and that we share in together to give us the hope that we need for today. Even the hope for our yesterdays and having those redeemed, and certainly our hopes for tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.